Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
We're in the last week of our Fix Her Upper series, and we talked in week one. You remember we had the stud wall up here. We talked about how God takes us down to studs. It's a place of repentance. It's a place of getting our lives where they need to be. And then week two, Pastor McCutcheon talked to us, we put new skin up, about the divine healing that Jesus provides for us. And last week, we painted the walls to it, started to look a little bit more like what it should, to where as a disciple, we start to look a little more like what Jesus would have us to look. And we're going to finish this up today as we finish decorating it, prepare it to live it out. I'm going to ask you to stand with me to honor the reading of the word. If you don't have a Bible or a device, it is up on the screens as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the life that your word brings. I pray, God, that you would just bless us now. God, as you honor the reading of your word, I pray you would anoint this time. Anoint my mind, my thoughts, my words. Prepare our hearts to hear directly from you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. As you leave today, you're going to receive one of these paint sticks that say Fixer Upper on it. And we're going to give this to you because we want you to take it home and remember that you are a fixer upper, that Jesus is constantly working in your life and in mine to make us more like what he wants us to be. So you'll receive these Fixer Upper sticks on your way out this morning. I want to ask you something, and I'm just going to be real with you. Can I be real this morning? Is that okay? All right. Does that worry anybody? Probably should a little bit. Have you ever found yourself on New Year's Eve saying something like this? This year, I'm going to lose weight. This year, I'm going to eat right. This year, I'm going to exercise more. This year, I'm going to save money. This year, I'm going to get out of debt. How about this year, I'm going to work on my relationships? Have you, any of you maybe said all six? You know, this year, man, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to save money. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to work on my relationships. And then fast forward to like early February, and here you are. You spent a small fortune on a case of deep fried Twinkies. You're sitting alone in the dark, eating them on your brand new treadmill. Anybody? No? My bad. Maybe it's not quite that intense. Maybe some of you don't have the same place that I go. But anybody, you know, you make that decision, man, this year. This year's going to be different. This year I'm going to do this. And then what happens? 6 weeks in, we fall short, right? I've told you before, when Glenda worked at Elegant Cakery, which is a real high-end, pay $4 for a cupcake type place in Southlake. And part of this came because she would bring some home. But anyways, she said that January and early February was a bad month for them. Because everybody was on, you know, they were on their New Year's resolution. She said by the second week of February, business was back like normal. And you can go into a gym. What happens in January? You have to wait for equipment. March, you get whatever equipment you want, right? It's that idea. We make a decision. We purpose in our minds that we want to do this. We want to do that. We want to press in, but then we fall short. And it can be really, really frustrating. You know, we fall short. And can I tell you, the same is true spiritually. The same is absolutely true spiritually. We can purpose in our minds, you know what? I'm going to press in, and I'm going to pray more this year. I'm going to press in, and I'm going to try and be more like Jesus this year. Or I'm going to press in, and this year, I'm going to stop watching this. Or I'm going to stop doing that. Or I'm going to stop whatever that may be. And then all of a sudden, we make a series of decisions that takes us back where we needed to be. Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he said this, I find that there is always a struggle with the beast that lives within me. How many of you know that that's a pretty big deal? That's a big deal, isn't it? That struggle that's there We fight with that struggle. We don't want to be sometimes what we are. Paul even talks about it, doesn't he? You know what? I do the very thing that I hate. We find ourselves in this place where there's kind of this inner struggle that's going on. And you know, we don't talk about it a whole lot because a lot of times we think, man, if I just knew a little bit more, if I had a little bit better understanding of Jesus, if I had this or if I had that, man, I'd be ready to go. And so what happens? We fall short. You know, when I think about the Lord, and I especially when we're in times of worship and whatnot, I get mental images. That's kind of the way I operate. And when I think about the Lord, the thing that just really, for me, is I picture the victorious warrior. I picture Jesus with that sword drawn, and he's like, you do not want to mess with me. I will take you down. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else? You know, I mean, I do. So when we sing those songs like, there's no wall you won't kick down, it's like Jesus saying, I got your back. You know, how about, you know, the mountains shake, the demons flee at the mention of the King of Majesty. Those types of things can be, yeah. And so that's for me. But some of you, maybe when you start to think about Jesus, you picture, you know, the Jesus holding the lamb. And if that's the case, whatever that looks like for you, but what do we not think about a lot? A lot of times we don't think about the idea that Jesus is holy. And because he's holy and because he's perfect, he expects us to walk in holiness. He expects us, the spiritual term here that we're going to really spend some time on is sanctification. And we've got to understand that a little bit better. I read this week about an ad in the Lake Zurich, which is in Illinois, Lake Zurich Advisor that said this, no lie, quote, Braille dictionary for sale. Must see to appreciate. Okay, now some of you are like, oh, I get it now. You know, but the thing is, when we start to talk about really digging in to understanding and fully appreciating what holiness looks like, we need to get a little bit bigger picture. We need to kind of push back a little bit because are you ready? And please hear me. People in your life, they don't really care about your theology. They're not impressed with your ability to remember doctrine. Randy and I were talking beforehand, and I was talking about what we're going to be talking about, sanctification today. And it was so cool because he looked at me and goes, that would be fundamental truth number 9 for the Assemblies of God. We have 16 fundamental truths. I was like, well done. You know, but I promise you, probably most of the time, they're not going to be super impressed with that. I was, and you know, in our circles, that's kind of a cool thing to do. But if you're talking to your neighbor, like, yep, we talked about the 16 fundamental truths, number 9. And they're going to be like, okay. But what they are interested in is how well can you live it out? How well can you live out your faith? How well can you live out who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life? Because they're more concerned about that than they are your beliefs. So let's get into this. What exactly is this that we're talking about? Like I said, sanctification is a process of becoming holy and being more like Jesus. Sounds easy, right? Anybody think that's easy? It is doable, but let's understand some things. The first thing we need to understand, number one, is what exactly is sanctification? What is sanctification? It literally means to be holy or separate. In the Old Testament, when you would read, they would talk about holidays and feasts and even the tabernacle, they were called holy. Why? Because they were set apart. They were designated to be set apart for God. And so that's a piece that we have to understand. It's separate from the rest of the world. When God's calling us and want us to be holy, he's wanting us to step out from being in the rest of the world. Now, the Old Testament, and I need you to follow me for a few minutes. I don't want to lose you, so stay with me. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew for the most part. The New Testament was written in Greek. The idea of sanctification, when you move on into the Greek, it kind of adds another piece. The idea of it being hallow is another word for holy. And so when you do the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Holiness. Holiness is an attribute of God himself. God is holy. And he tells us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 2, he puts it this way, he goes, speak to the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, I want you to know, you see the room. You remember what this looked like 4 weeks ago. It was just studs. Now it's all decorated, and we've got cacti. That's cool. I've not seen this till today. So we've got cacti. Anytime you have cacti, anytime you get to use the phrase cacti, that's a win. But it's now ready to live out. It's ready to live out. This idea, you may not, you know, I'm not riding a four-wheeler today, but the idea I want you to grab a hold of this morning is this, that there is something very real that we can grab a hold of to start living out a holy life, that living out what God wants us to live out. There are two parts of sanctification that I want you to understand this morning, and I need you to stay with me or you're going to think I'm preaching heresy, okay? First one is that sanctification is, there is a portion of it that is instant. That is instant. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:2, he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, sanctified, one-time thing, and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now, let me help you understand something for a minute. You see right there where he says, to those sanctified, done. Do you see that? Look at the language. That piece is done there. Now, you'll notice he puts in there though, he goes, and those who are called to be saints is what this one says in the ESV. The NIV uses, holy. Here's what I want you to understand. In the Greek, to make the reading smooth, many times the translators would add the word to be to make the reading smooth. What really is we are called saints. We are called holy. We are called by God. The moment we received Jesus into our lives, we became holy in that sense. We were sanctified in that sense. Now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Jeff, that's good, but the person sitting next to me, I don't know how much holiness is going on there. Okay? And first of all, stop. All right? Number two, you're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it wrong. Here's what I mean by that. You start to look at it that way. You don't understand that when we become believers, Christ's holiness is imparted to us. Okay? Our holiness is not because of what we do. It's not because of who we are. It's Jesus' holiness in us. It's who Jesus is. He imparts it to us. That's why Paul tells us, I'm giving you a lot of scripture because this is not going to be my opinion. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus makes us holy because he is holy. All right? I'm going to blow your theology here. You're not holy. Some of you are like, what? Yeah, it's real. I'm not even holy. I know. What? I just blew your minds, didn't I? The thing is that I want you to really grab a hold of is because of who Jesus is in us, we walk this holiness thing out. When we became believers, we had been separated now from moral evil, from sin at our conversion. That's why Peter tells us in his first letter that it's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in us. So there is an instant peace to it. But here's where it changes. Not only is it instant, it's also progressive. We don't grow, now hear me, this is good. You might tweak this. We don't grow into sanctification, we grow in sanctification. You don't grow into sanctification, you start growing in it. You start moving this out. It's a process. It's a process that we live out in our lives. Remember we talked when I first started this message, we talked about the idea there are things that we want to live out. There are things that we want to do, but what happens? We make a decision and we fall short. Sanctification is a process where you start to become more and more like Jesus and you start to work those things out. And the things that caused you issues become further in the past. Now you may say, how do we understand that that's really both sides? Hebrews 10:10 says, and by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ for all, once and for all. Go down 3:14. He says, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all those who are being sanctified. So you get that one time and that progressive peace. In other words, you should be closer to Jesus and more like Jesus today than the day you were saved. Oh, if you're not, take it back to studs. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of searching our hearts out and saying, Jesus, what is it that you're speaking? What are you wanting to do in our lives? Where are you taking us? As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12, I don't have time to get into it. We're told to pursue sanctification. It's a process of striving to be more and more like Jesus. But can I tell you, you're going to mess up. You will. You will fall short at times. You just will. So what do? When you do? You dust yourself off and you keep going. God's a God of conviction. He'll bring conviction into your life, but he's not a God of condemnation. Once you've dealt with it, you move on. You start to grow in it. That's why if you've served Jesus for a long time, you can look back and see when you first gave your life to Jesus, some of the things that were really difficult for you to get free from, they're not as big a deal anymore. Why? Because those things have died out. Now, you have new battles to fight, don't you? If somebody told you when you became a believer, you wouldn't have battles anymore, they lied to you. That's real. But remember I told you that victorious warrior? He fights a battle for you. We just walk it out. You know, let me give you a quick example. I'm going to talk more about this in a few minutes, but when I gave my life back to Christ, I'd been drinking, and I had a sailor's mouth. I did. I used language that would make a sailor blush. Okay? And when Jesus saved me, the language instantaneously broke. I still drank for a while. But Jesus broke me of that, and now and here I am 2+ decades later, and I'm not touching stuff. So that's the piece that I want you to understand. That's it's a process piece of there. Paul tells us in Ephesians to take off our old selves and put on our new self, put on our newness in who we are in him. It's like an old, nasty, raggedy t-shirt and taking it off and putting a form-fitted, handmade, brand new iron shirt made just for you. That's this idea of sanctification. That's this idea of living this peace out. So we understand that part of becoming holy, sanctified, means that when we give our lives to Jesus, it's a part of this process that he works in us. So let me ask you this then. Why does God expect us to be sanctified? Why would he expect sanctification in us? Why do we need that? Doesn't it sound hard? We need to be sanctified to please God first and foremost. We're not to be holy to impress other people. Okay? You're not to be holy so people are like, man, that dude is holy. I bet he fasts. That's not what it's about. Because what did Jesus say? He said those Pharisees that they gave for show, that was their reward, right? When they fasted for show, when they prayed for show, that was their reward. That's not what it's about. When we start to walk in holiness, it's because God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he called you as holy, you also are to be holy in your conduct. So since he's holy, he's calling us to be holy. We've got to live that out. Paul tells us also in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And here's why I want to camp for a minute. Worthy of the call. Go to the next slide. See what I'm talking about? A manner in which, worthy of the calling to which you have been. Here's what I want you to get. Paul's telling us, high calling, not necessarily as a pastor, but a high calling as a believer. People are watching us live it out. People are watching the way we conduct our lives, and we need to make sure that we connect what we say with what we do. That's the high calling. I heard a story years ago. I don't even know if it's true, but we're going to go with like it is. I think it's an interesting story. There was a French private by the name of Napoleon, not Napoleon Bonaparte, but Napoleon. And every time France would go to battle, what would happen is this one private named Napoleon, when they would go to battle, he would turn around and run away from the battle. And that happened over and over and over again. Well, finally it gets to the boss, Napoleon Bonaparte, that people are saying, when we go to war, Napoleon runs. Napoleon Bonaparte brings Private Napoleon before him and he says, here's the thing. This is what's being said. So here's what needs to happen. Either change your name or change your actions. Either change your name or change your actions. There are a lot of believers that don't marry what they say with what they do. and we hinder so much. The world's watching us. The world is watching us to see how we respond. How we do we really truly live out our faith? I'm not saying that we don't fail. We will fail. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we're not going to be real, that we're not going to be, you know, we're not perfect. But can we be real and true to our convictions? Can we really live out who we say we serve? Can they really see Jesus in our words? Can they really see Jesus in the way we care for people? Can they really see Jesus when we trust him in our giving? Can they see Jesus in all that we do? Do we live out that high calling? I read a story. I read a lot of stories this week studying, but I read one of a pastor here in the South somewhere who actually strangled his wife and left her in a coma. And while she was in the coma, U.S. News and World Report, they did a story on it. And this was a quote that the reporter put in there. You ready? Quote, "The veneer of perfection suddenly began to crack." The veneer of perfection suddenly began to crack. If that's all our holiness is a veneer, then we need to make some very real changes in our lives. God wants genuine holiness. He expects genuine holiness of his people. So then the real question then comes, number three, how do I walk in sanctification? How do I do this? When I was in grad school, I started something, and I still do it today. When I'm reading a book and I read a concept or a principle, I'm like, that would be a cool thing to try and bring in. I would start out, when I first read it, I would always put out in the margin, YBH. Yeah, but how? Okay? And I think when we start to talk about sanctification, when it stays at that kind of distant theoretical place, we're like, absolutely, we need to walk in sanctification. But we start to talk about stepping it out and living it out. It's like, whoo, what does that start to look like? How do we do this? What does this look like? You know, C.S. Lewis said, no man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. Did that come up? Okay, I guess not. It seems impossible, doesn't it? It seems impossible. You know, we don't know how bad we are till we try to be good, right? We don't really understand that and start to live that peace out till we try. So how do you do that? How do we truly walk this peace out? 91 times, there we go, thank you. 91 times in the New Testament, the Spirit is called holy. 91 times he's called holy. Pagan gods don't emphasize holiness. Their gods aren't holy. Our God is a holy God. And if God is holy, which we've already seen that he is, and if he really expects that of us, doesn't it make sense that he would then enable us to do it? Doesn't it make sense that he would come alongside of us and not say, all right, figure it out? How many of you had a parent say, you know what, it's time to learn to swim, and just throw you in the deep end of the pool? Anybody? I did too. That's why I'm asking. My kids did. You better not. Yeah. But that idea of God doesn't do that. God doesn't just go, have fun. It's not the way he works. God's going to help us process through this. He's going to help us walk this out. But the Holy Spirit plays a huge part in both the initial piece and the progressive piece. So here's how we do that. This is more teaching than preaching. I get that. And I know you're not laughing as much as usual. But this is something God really laid on my heart for this morning. The Holy Spirit makes sanctification effective in us, okay? He makes it effective in us. Let's go back to our getting in shape analogy. You guys remember the whole idea of you want to get in shape. So let's say you choose to join a gym, okay? How many of you know just because you have the card in your wallet or the little thing on your key does not actually make you get in shape? Some of you are like, I'm quitting my gym today. You're welcome. I just saved you like $38. But it's more than that, isn't it? You have to walk into the gym, and as long as you're eating right, every single tool you need to look like me, right here. I've been sandbagging on you. I don't even know what to say. By the way, I'm working on that. By the end of the year, I'll be there. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. Just because you go, I'm not going to ever look like that. That's not my goal. I'd have to buy all new clothes and I'm not interested. But here's what I want you to get. You actually have to go and utilize the things that are there. You actually have to pick up dumbbells. It's not enough to look at them. You got to start using them. All right? It's not enough to see those things. You got to step into and start using that equipment. And you know what? How many of you know, those of you that go to the gym regularly, and I know you look at me and you won't believe, I really do, like 4 times a week. I just like to eat. That's my problem. All right? How many of you know that there are times you don't feel like it? Anybody? Am I the only one? Thank you, Miss Wanda, you and me right there. Yeah, there are times you don't feel like it. And you know what? There are going to be times as you're in this process of the Holy Spirit working in your life and molding and shaping and trying to take you where he's taking you. You're going to fall short. There are going to be days it's not going to work. But you, in your life, because you struggle in some areas, keep going, keep pressing in. Romans though, and here's what I think is so great along those, that idea is as he restores us, Romans tells us that we're sanctified by the word. By the Spirit through the word when it's preached. The Holy Spirit uses the word to stir things up inside of us. Why do we tell you to read the Bible? Not because we want to just track it to make sure you're reading. We want you to grow. We want the Holy Spirit to enlighten things for you. When you read it, you're like, bam, that makes sense to me. I can live that out now. You start to grab a hold of it and start to really live this thing out. The Holy Spirit stirs those things up in you. When that happens, the second piece of this is that the Holy Spirit then helps us to control our minds and put to death our natural sin tendencies. Here's what I mean by that. The Spirit helps us. Everybody say us. The Spirit helps us control our thoughts. And that's huge. The Holy Spirit doesn't control your thoughts. You know, you can't say, okay, I'm ready to be sanctified. Doesn't work that way. But when you say, you know what? Holy Spirit, work inside of me. And he starts to work and he starts to move. God starts to do a work in your life to set you free from some things. Are you ready for this? Every sin you commit starts here. It goes from here to action. My challenge to you this morning, let the Holy Spirit start to work in your mind. Let him illuminate things in your spiritual realm as you're praying, as you're moving. Let God start to work in those areas. That's why we understand that Romans tells us that we're to allow the renewing of our minds. But here's the thing. Let me talk you through, and I'm going to give you a few more scriptures on how to live this out. Paul tells us in his letter to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Go down to verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Go on to verse 13 and 14. For you live according to the flesh, you die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So here's what it's saying. If you choose to live a life that starts here and you're focused on the things that you want, you will find yourself in a place of death. Welcome to Colleyville Assembly of God. But if you will put yourself in a place where your mind is really set upon the things of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's working in your life and shifting some things around, then things start to change and you start to become more like Jesus. What Paul is saying is basically garbage in, garbage out, right? But the more you allow that shape to happen, as a thought comes up, the Holy Spirit is like, that's not a good one. Cast it down. Get rid of it. And you start to not entertain it. And the more you cast those thoughts down, you start out and you feel like you're doing it constantly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're constantly, nope, 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 nope. And eventually, that thought becomes less and less. Unless. Why? Because you choose to not feed it anymore. Don't entertain the thought. Are you ready for this? Once you get victory from that one, there's another one coming. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He'll equip you to make that happen. Understand that that's there. Fight that battle. It is a process. And as long as we're on this side of eternity, we're always going to fight that process. Last part of this is this. The Holy Spirit, he produces the fruit of the Spirit that Paul tells us about in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, kindness, all of those different things. 1 Thessalonians tells us to be joyful always. And what we read a minute ago to start this whole thing is, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. If you give it to him and you allow him to start to do that, he'll start to work in your life. And that joy piece really becomes a big deal. How many of you have ever seen somebody who they're like over the top joyful? Wow, you guys need better friends. There's like three of you. Me? Okay, good. Thank you. Is this on? Are you with me? All right. That person, it's not just they're happy, but there's joy. You know, happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on who Christ is in you. Did you catch that? So understanding that and really starting to wrap your mind around that process, that joy piece is the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Life was never intended to be something we endure. It wasn't. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. If it was something we were intended to endure, why would he give us more of something to endure? Jesus came to give us life. He wants us to experience life. He wants us to walk life out. He wants us to embrace what this peace looks like. But so many of you think that when you became a believer, that all of a sudden you had to sleep in a suit and tie and only eat communion elements. How many of you know that's not that? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life in the Spirit. I'm talking about when somebody sees you, there is joy, there's love, there's peace, there's kindness. Why? Because as you're living this out, they can see the decoration in your life. They can see what God has been doing in your life. So let me share with you, and I'm going to start kind of wrapping up because my timer just went red. I'm ignoring it, but I saw it. When I gave my life back to the Lord, most of you know I grew up in church. I've said many times, I was Assembly God 9 months before I was born, okay? I grew up in church. I was a good church kid. I did all those things. I went off to college and, well, not so good for a while. And when God got my attention and brought me back in 93, I remember thinking then, because I'd been partying, I'd been doing a lot of things, I remember thinking, man, there's just a bunch of stuff I'm going to have to give up. I'm going to have to give up a bunch of stuff, and I was worried that it would be a boring life. And then I started to realize God wired me the way he wired me to enjoy what he gives me. Okay, are there some things that I had to put aside? Yes. And if you're going to start to walk in holiness, if you're going to start to walk in sanctification, there are some things you've got to start to put aside. For example, if you're going to a website and you're looking at images that you really know you shouldn't be looking at, that's a starting point. Stop that. Another example, we're talking about sexual sin and we're all mature in here. If you're sleeping with somebody that is not your spouse, it's sin. Okay? I don't care if it's a one-night stand, extramarital affair, or something in between. It's still sin. And we have to make some changes. And sometimes those changes are not easy. But how many of you know sin's not just a sexual sin? Okay? Some of you, or some people, maybe it's judgmentalism. Can you believe what they wore in here today? We should go pray. But let's tell 14 people about it first. So we can all pray together. That's called gossip. Still sin. Do you see what I'm talking about? There are certain areas that we as God starts to work in our lives where we can say, you know what? I need to move away from that. Is it because God doesn't want us to have a good time? No, not by any means. God is not some cosmic killjoy. The sex, let's talk about the sex piece again. Creating those things to where you are in a marriage covenant, because God's pro-sex. God created sex. He is on board with it. He created it for us. But Hebrews makes it clear that we are not to defile the marriage bed. Right here. Anything outside of that perverts it. Anything outside of that twists it. Anything outside of that makes it to where it doesn't fulfill what it was originally intended to fulfill. And what happens is we start to get all of these different emotions and different issues start to show up that we fight before we realize it. We're all a ball of nerves when we were never intended to walk that way. Because we're carrying a burden we were never intended to carry. When it's in the marriage covenant, it's beautiful and it's appropriate. Does that make sense? Gossip. If you have to, when you're getting ready to say something, if you have to start out with this, don't say it. It's sin. I do this in love. I know you're like, this is the best message ever. But I need you to hear me when I tell you I do this in love because I want to see you walk in victory. And victory comes when we choose to walk in holiness. So there are changes, but the joys of seeking God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives are so much better than what we think makes us happy now. So we know what sanctification is. We know it's expected of us. Go ahead and come on out, band. We know what's expected of us. He sends the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk this out. But maybe you feel like, let's be real for a minute, maybe you feel like you have failed 1.4 million times this week. That's a lot. But you may say, man, I just don't know. I just don't. What God's asking you to do is keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Keep going. Keep going. We're not expected to be perfect, but we are expected to allow him to work inside of us and move us that way. But what Jesus is asking is that we take a step out, that we seek him more, that we seek his voice more, that we seek his spirit and allow him to work in our lives. And can I just tell you, it's not a 5-minute prayer. It's not. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of ups and downs. And ups and downs. But we have one who takes our hand and he walks this with us to make this possible. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But again, it's through Christ.